We're really happy to have Dr. Rachel Markwald joining us tonight. She's a physiologist at the Naval Health Research Center in San Diego. And she is also the lead author of a study done at the University of Colorado in Boulder about how sleep affects our weight, and less sleep can often lead to more eating and more weight gain, according to that new study. And Dr. Markwald will be joining us right now. Welcome to the Roadhouse.
Well, thanks for having me.
What prompted this study, Rachel?
Well, there's been a lot of associative research recently in the last couple of decades kind of linking short sleep or inadequate sleep, we like to call it, with weight gain. And we wanted to do a study that basically looked more into these connections.
How did you go about the study? I'm sure that you had seen what had been looked at before and you probably had some things you had to isolate.
Sure. We wanted to be able to measure a person's energy expenditure or how many calories they're actually burning per day at the same time as we were measuring how much food they were taking in, how many calories they were consuming, so we could get out something called energy balance. And so what happens is if you're in the positive energy balance at the end of the day, those extra calories are then stored as fat, and weight would then obviously ensue. So we wanted to be able to perform a study in a setting where we could actually measure both of those things and determine what happened with weight over a two-week span of time. And so we completed the study at the hospital because they have a nice special room down there where we can actually directly measure a person's metabolic rate, and thus we can actually determine how much energy they're expending.
And how do you go about finding volunteers? Are you looking for specific, types of people for this study?
We were. You're right. We wanted to get a population of healthy sleeping people to do this study to begin with. And basically, we got individuals who don't have any sleep complaints, don't have any problems sleeping, so we could kind of determine what happens in a healthy population first.
One would think, or at least I would, the less sleep you get, of course, you're burning more calories because you're not sleeping, you're moving, you're doing something. Mm-hmm. But yet these folks apparently are having more weight gain than people that are sleeping 8-9 hours a night. How does that happen?
Well, prior to our study, there had been a couple other studies out recently where they attempted to measure energy expenditure, and it's actually been not really shown in those previous studies that energy expenditure, that the amount of calories that you're expending per day, really do go up with sleep loss. And so ours is kind of the first study to show that they do in fact go up by using this very sensitive method for collecting these data. So you're right, now based on our findings, energy expenditure does go up. They are burning more calories, but as you stated, they're gaining weight. So what's going on here? And what we determined was they're eating more calories than they actually needed to in order to maintain that extra needed calories.
And those extra calories they're eating, is that a function of just being more tired, or is it eating poorly that is reflected from lack of sleep, or could you determine those things?
Right. Well, what we were able to determine is that it is related to the actual sleep loss itself. Because each person who went through this protocol went through two separate conditions. One was they were getting an adequate amount of sleep for 5 days, which is basically 9 hours time in bed per night. And then they were switched over into that sleep loss condition, which was 5 hours or less per night. And what we found was that they were eating more only in that sleep loss condition, on average for men and women. And so whether it's the fatigue, it's hard to say, but it must be related to the sleep itself.
So in other words, they're eating, right before bed or something?
Right, okay. Right. So we did notice a difference in the types of foods they were consuming. When they're under the sleep loss condition, the inadequate sleep condition, they're actually eating more food later at night and less in the morning time. And then the snacks that they were choosing to eat later at night were more carbohydrate rich.
I think I read in that study that people were gaining as much as a couple pounds maybe in that couple of weeks. Is that something that accumulates then?
Right. So this is actually over a 5-day span of time. They were gaining on average almost 2 pounds.
That's a lot.
That is quite a lot. Now, obviously, if you extrapolate that out over the next few weeks to months, that could really add up. However, we think that although we're confident that these would mimic conditions in sort of the real world, this waking's probably accelerated in our laboratory environment just sort of due to the nature of the laboratory environment itself. So we may not see something as substantial as 2 pounds in 5 days in the real world. Or we may. That research still needs to be done.
Is it common for people to be sleeping 6 hours and less in today's population?
It is. I think the latest numbers are putting the average sleep duration of an American around 6.5 hours per night. So right around there, yeah.
And is that something to do, do you believe, with our society, or is it...
Most definitely.
Okay.
Obviously, you know, not obtaining the sleep that you'd like is partially voluntary. It's obviously going to be the consequence of your environment, too, whether you have children, whether you're taking care of other people in general, whether you have multiple jobs. It could be a whole number of different things.
But there is something intrinsic in our society that leads to less sleep and maybe more work or less sleep due to... I'm not sure why that would happen as opposed to some other countries.
Right. I do think a large part of it is just due to our work ethic here. Uh-huh. And, you know, there are many people who can't obtain that adequate amount of sleep that we like to recommend, the 7 to 9 hours of sleep, simply because they're working multiple jobs and things like that.
What are some of the other problems that people might have that are associated with lack of sleep?
Oh, sure. Research now has shown that they're at an increased risk of becoming pre-diabetic, which is never a good thing as well. There's cardiovascular risk implications. There's obviously mood impairments and such things as that. Mm-hmm.
And does this also affect the way the brain functions over a course of time? Do you know that answer?
In terms of sort of your ability to think and reason and process information, we know that when you don't obtain that adequate amount of sleep of 7 to 9 hours a week on average, that you are impaired in many of those domains. And several research studies have shown that chronic sleep loss, where we're getting 5-6 hours a night of sleep, you know, is enough to actually show some substantial impairment.
Now, I believe that children need, what, maybe 10 hours at least of mm-hmm. sleep. And as people have been around quite a long time, like me, mm-hmm. they maybe need less, or is it just that they get less?
Well, children, as you said, certainly they need a lot while they're developing, and it... I think 10 is sort of the number where we've started to see impairments when they're getting less than 10 hours of sleep per night. And then adolescents, they're unique too. I mean, they're also obviously still developing. They kind of have a more delayed sleep pattern. And then we kind of move into adulthood and the normal 7 to 9 hours of recommended sleep. And as we age, sleep time, sleep duration has been shown to go down in some older folks, and as well as changes in sleep quality as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there, and I fall into that category where maybe 6 hours is my norm.
Mm-hmm.
Are there some tricks or methods to make sleep come easier besides, you know, the old adage counting sleep, or counting sleep, counting sheep, excuse me?
Sure. There are a number of things you can try.
Besides Ambien?
Besides going the prescription route, sure. sleep hygiene is what we commonly refer to this as in the sleep field, and that's just taking into account behaviors prior to going to bed that may be actually impacting your ability to fall asleep or stay asleep once you've fallen asleep. And certainly getting bright light in the evening time suppresses your body's ability to release melatonin, which is basically a nighttime hormone. It signals night to your body. So when bright lights are on around you, you actually have suppression of that hormone in your blood. Mm. And so we recommend limiting bright light exposure. Obviously, that includes televisions, computers, and other devices. And then also limiting exercise so that you're not doing it too close to the time that you'd like to go to bed. And there's also things like limiting your bedroom to just sleeping and, you know, not laying in bed and watching TV. Obviously, that'd be bad on two accounts. But just trying to limit your bedroom to where you actually are sleeping. Mm-hmm. And there's a number of other tricks, too. Certainly, if you Googled sleep hygiene, you could come up with a large list.
Right. Okay. That would be the place to look, then, is under something like that. Mm-hmm. Getting back to the study that you've completed, were there differences between men and women and how they reacted in this study as far as the sleep suppression and eating habits?
Yeah, we actually did see a difference in the way men and women responded to the inadequate sleep. When well-rested, the women actually had more food restraint, and the men, they proved a little less strong-willed, and they actually kind of chowed down, and they gained weight even when they were getting plenty of sleep and the adequate sleep condition. Because they could, yeah. Right. I mean, they had unlimited access to food, and apparently women were able to better choose a diet that met their energy needs. Uh-huh. Now, when they were in that inadequate sleep condition, that went out the window, and they also overate and gain weight as well.
Mm-hmm. In that study, of course, one of the reasons I'm assuming that prompted the study was the problem of obesity in America. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can remind our listeners of a few of the reasons that we need to watch our weight and the health hazards that are associated with obesity.
Sure. I mean, obesity is associated with a whole host of negative consequences, physiological consequences in the body. Certainly heart health, just cardiovascular health in general. Your risk of getting diabetes, your risk of sleep apnea, it's just bad.
Uh-huh. And sleep apnea itself, of course, that doesn't allow people to get proper rest. Does that also, do you feel that also may lead to weight gain?
It certainly can, and there's lots of associative studies to show that weight and sleep apnea go hand in hand. The problem is, as you get larger, typically the risk for actually getting sleep apnea goes up, and it's vice versa is true as well. So if you have sleep apnea, your risk of gaining weight goes up. And so really, if you have sleep apnea, you're not getting the quality of sleep that you should get per night. You have a more fragmented sleep profile, and that can lead to feelings of grogginess and fatigue across the day. And that may very well impact your eating behavior as well and your metabolism.
Mm-hmm. So at night, we should probably stay away from snack food and try to eat healthy and make a proper breakfast, which probably doesn't happen for those folks that aren't sleeping enough, in order to stop that little cycle happening.
Yeah. I think the message here for our studies, you know, overall, if you're getting adequate sleep, it's not that you're going to lose weight or that will in of itself prevent weight gain. It's more that obtaining routine adequate sleep needs to be considered as an important component to both assisting with the success of weight loss and in weight maintenance programs. And that practicing self-control is important with dieting and with eating smartly to maintain your weight. So in the real world, lack of sleep may reduce your ability to say no to snacks and poor food choices.
So try to get the proper rest and try to find a way to sleep if you're having problems. But also, there's some lessons to be learned about eating habits that go with lack of sleep.
That's correct.
Yes. We've been speaking with Dr. Rachel Markwald, and she's a physiologist at the Naval Health Research Center in beautiful downtown San Diego. And she has just completed as a lead author of a study at the University of Colorado Boulder about weight gain and how it relates to lack of sleep. Rachel, we want to thank you so much for joining us here tonight.
Oh, sure. Thanks for having me.
And we wish that we were having the same kind of weather that you're enjoying right now.
I wish that for you, too.
Well, thank you very much.